Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Unto dust thou shalt return. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's be seated. For centuries, it was a very haunting ceremony that would transpire whenever you would have one of the royal family of the Austrian Habsburg family die. It would be a beautiful ceremony that would take place at the burial of their bodies. It was, as any death of a head of state, a very public affair. And so the people from the empire would come and they would descend upon St. Stephen's Cathedral, in which they would witness the Requiem Mass, which would take place, and they would pray for the soul of the man or woman who was the regent that died there. And then there would be a long public procession in which the coffin would be taken out from the cathedral, and they would process over a kilometer from St. Stephen's to the church that belongs to the Capuchin friars of the Franciscan order. And it's at this church that the bodies of the royal family in Austria are interred. Arriving at the doors of the Capuchin church, though, they'd find them closed. And as they approached, the body would wait, remaining outside, and all the crowd that had gathered along and gone in procession with them would stand and wait in silence and watch. There would be a herald in the procession who would come forward and take a staff, and he would strike the door 3 times, very much in the same fashion which we do with the cross as we enter back into the church on Palm Sunday. He would strike the door 3 times, and there would be a cry from one of the Capuchin friars from inside. Call out, "Who demands entry?" At this point, the herald would be given a long scroll, and on it, he would begin to read aloud for everybody to hear. It would be the name of the regent that died, and there would be a string there afterwards of royal titles and sees in which they oversaw listed. The person's name would be listed, and then it would be former Crown Prince of Austria-Hungary, Prince Royal of Hungary and Bohemia, and then on and on, dukedoms and places that they were king, and all these places which they oversaw during their lifetime. They'd be listed out, their positions. And at the end of it, he would say, the Capuchin friar would respond, "We do not know you." The second time, the herald would knock 3 times. And then, at this point, lesser titles would be listed off of the person. Whether they had achieved certain extraordinary degrees, like a doctorate, various points in the way of civic titles. These things would be listed again. And at the conclusion of it, the friar would say, "We do not know him." Then a third time, the herald would knock on the door. And from inside, again, they would say, "Who demands entry?" And this time, the herald's voice would drop and be more subtle, subdued, and humble. And he would announce the baptismal name of the dead king. And then simply after the name say, "A mortal, sinful man." At which point, the friar would say, "So he may come in." And the doors would open, and the procession to the crypt for the final resting place of the emperor would take place. It was a very powerful scene. It was meant to be witnessed by everyone there, to point out before everyone that no matter how much they held in reverence their own rulers, no matter what great heights they had risen to in the eyes of the world, they were men and they would die. Death comes to us all. It is our end. It does not discriminate. St. Alphonsus reflects upon this in his preparations for death. He says the same fate awaits both nobles and plebeians, both princes and vassals. Directly the soul shall leave the body with the last gasp. It will go into eternity, and the body will return to its dust. He also points that one and all begin the same process of decay upon having died. That the body begins to corrupt, that the smell begins to stink, that a man, no matter how important he is, is soon realized that it is necessary for him to be hastened off into the grave. That all of his achievements in life, whatever they may be, no matter how much intelligence he has once had, no matter what titles or what possessions he has gained, whatever influence he has had, it all is unimportant. It ceases to matter anymore. The only thing that remains is the eternal truth, and that is that his life is over, and all of those things, they go away. His mind now, which may have been sharp and brilliant, is cold and quiet. The voice that he may have pronounced great tomes with, and the hands which he may have written great works, they now lay still and silent. That all of his positions of importance are filled with new men and new names. As our Lenten saint says, now that he is dead, his memory will soon pass away. And this is true to everyone. Man is no longer talked about in due time. The voice is forgotten as to what it has sounded like. Even loved ones do not want to reflect upon them too often, lest the pain return to their heart, sharp and new. And as time heals, mind tends to forget. But there is one truth that remains, and that is eternity itself. That his existence does not end the last breath, and his importance does not fade as his memory does, but rather for eternity he is destined for either heaven or perdition. And it is this end that we are called to, this outset of Lent, to remind ourselves of. We have the mark placed upon our heads. Remember, men, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. God has made you out of nothingness. And in relation to the world, you will become nothing again. No matter how many days we are given, they are short and fleeting. No matter how much we are able to accomplish, they all amount to very little. But what matters is how we are viewed in the eyes of God. What matters is what happens to our soul after our death. What matters is what we can have written on the book of life. And it is the work in which we sanctify ourselves, recognizing just as those regents have been called out as mortal sinners. That is what we are. Our life is temporal, and we have sinned. And it is the conquering of this that we strive after, that our flesh may be brought into subjection, that our souls may be made stronger still, that grace may ever increase in our hearts, and that our focus, the further along the way of life we go, becomes more narrowed to the eternal life at this life's end. And so that it is we reflect upon. We are dust, and to dust we shall return. But it is towards heavenly light, eternal life, that we strive. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.